Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning. As I prayed and asked the Lord what He would have me to speak on over the couple of times that I'm able to. And since the theme is faith and walking by faith, the Lord really kind of laid something on my heart, something I know that I've had to deal with in my own past here just recently. But Galatians chapter 6, if you would. I've entitled this message, Faith. Faith to see the harvest. Or also commonly known as overcoming burnout. Or overcoming spiritual apathy. But you know, sometimes I think that we need to be reminded that there is a harvest that the Lord wants us to bring in. That there is a harvest that the Lord wants us to continue staying behind the plow or the combine to whatever instrument we're going to use to actually see the harvest in. And the Lord actually reminds us in Galatians chapter 6 of a piece here where He starts off in verse 7. Very familiar passage, but He says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Verse 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap," what's the next three words? "If we faint not." If we faint not. "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them of the household of faith." Verse 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing." That word weary, it's actually, you can look at that word and it has a couple different thoughts behind it. One is the aspect of don't become faint-hearted. Don't faint. Another word, as a military guy, it literally also means don't become cowardice. Can I say it this way? There's not a time to retreat. There is no time to retreat. We are on the winning side. We already know the victor. We are on that victorious side. And the Lord says to us, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Let's pray. Father, I just ask that You just guide our thoughts this morning. Lord, just may You get all the honor and glory in all that we do and all that I say. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever gotten tired of doing good? That's kind of a hard question, but have you ever been behind the plow for so long that maybe you would be tempted to say, "Lord, I just can't do this anymore. Lord, I'm tired. Lord, I've been beat up. Lord, where's that next generation? Where are they at? Because, Lord, I'm getting old. Lord, sometimes, you know, I got to tell you, sometimes as pastors and administrators and chaplains, you know, we would never use terms like burnout. Because, you know, we would think, well, that's just a worldly term. That's a psychology term. You know, I'd never use that term. We don't believe in burnout. So we just call it different things. Or we say something like this: "I need a sabbatical. I need a retreat. I need to go, you know, in the military we talk about this aspect of compassion fatigued, care for the caregiver, you know, from those standpoints. But the bottom line is, we're struggling. The bottom line is our energy level is just at a rock bottom low. And we just need a pickup. It's seen in our actions, it's seen in our attitude, and other people see it sometimes before we do. And because we may be the pastor, they don't say anything. Well, he just needs some rest. The truth of the matter is, maybe it's something deeper than that we need. I know that we get tired. I know that we get weary. And if you're not careful, all of us, if we're not careful, spiritual apathy can really start to set in. And when spiritual apathy sets in, what's next? Some folks have thrown in the towel. Some folks have just given up. Some folks have ended up in situations that they go, how in the world did I ever end up here? Right now, in our own minds, we can think of folks in that very situation. And you'd ask, I just want to cover two areas here quickly this morning, but the first thing you have to ask is, what in the world would cause this burnout? What would cause this spiritual apathy? And then secondly, what would be the results of how to overcome this spiritual apathy? That's what we need to cover this morning. So the first thing is, what would cause something like that? Well, I think there's a myriad of causes. I think the first one, if you're taking notes, is a cause. I would put it under the aspect of maybe there's been a loss of priority in our lives. Maybe a loss of priority. You know, I think back in the book of Acts chapter 6 to where the Lord called deacons, and where the first time the early church recognized that those pastors, they just couldn't do it all themselves. And many of them were probably trying. And all of a sudden, some of the tables were being left undone, and the men were coming and saying, hey, look, you've forgotten these individuals over here. And through the wonderful leadership, they said, well, let's bring on to us some men who are filled with the Holy Spirit and full of the Spirit, and say, hey, look, let's have them pull alongside of us and be these servants, these deacons, so that the pastors themselves could stay focused on the giving of themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word, so that they could, if I could say it like this, to keep the priority of what they needed. Sometimes I think what happens is we lose sight of what's important. The priority seems to get shifted a bit. As I was telling the youth group here just a few weeks ago, even from their standpoint, it's easy to do. I remind them and I say, what is it really that the Lord, if I could say ultimately, what is it that the Lord wants us to remember as a priority? And think about that. And I think it's really summed up in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever I do, do all to the glory of God. So maybe the greatest priority is for me to remember that whatsoever I do, do all to the glory of God. And I think sometimes what can happen is that we begin to slip in that area. Some things can distract us. I told the teens just a couple of weeks ago, I said, look, let me tell you something that's true. Hey, how many of you love sports? I love sports. You know, I follow the sports teams, and whether they're good or bad, or those nasty Cornhuskers or whatever things, you know, some things I just, you know, I'm sorry. But the bottom line is, no, I'm not. But the bottom line is, you know, I follow sports. But can I tell you, I know some kids who they live and breathe for sports. I know some older guys who you can't have a conversation with them to where they don't bring up their favorite football team or their favorite basketball team or hockey or whatever. And the amazing thing is, they can tell you stats about their favorite players. Did you see how many RBIs he has? Did you see his ERA? Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Can you quote John 3:16? No? Wow. Isn't that amazing? What would you call that? I'd call that a loss of priority. I'd say that some folks get their priorities mixed up. And look, I don't have anything against sports and recreation and all these things, but they have to have their proper place. And when they start getting out of place, then we can start losing our priority. And that's dangerous. You know, when I was at BJ, one of the things we learned from many of those professors was, make sure that you major on the major and minor on the minors. But when we start majoring on those minors, we can lose sense of priority. You know, even in some of these conversations that we've had here within the FBF, do you know that some of those things are just minors? Some of those issues are just minors. But isn't it amazing how so many times we can get all wrapped around the axle about the minors? And they start consuming all of our time? And if we're not careful, We can lose priority. Secondly, I think another thing that we can lose, we lose our love. We lose our love. You say, absolutely not. Hard for me to even fathom, to admit. But can I tell you that Jesus himself confronted a church by the name of Ephesus. And we have record of it in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4 when he confronted them and said, look, all these great things that you have done, but there is one thing against you. You've lost your first love. Wow. And if it can happen to a church, it can happen to that pastor of that church. Amen? You say that would never happen. Well, the truth of the matter is sometimes when we're not expecting it, sometimes things can come into our life and snatch our emotions or snatch our heart away from God. We don't intend it to happen, but it does. Things that we start falling in love with. And when we start falling in love with those things, I'm going to tell you, you know, the Bible makes it very clear, you can't love the world and the things of God. Because they're at enmity one with the other. You know why some of these churches continue to fall away? They've fallen in love with the things of the world. Some of the riches that come in from those people that have pockets full of green. And if they preach the right things and say the right things, I can keep those people and I bring in that music that the world loves, and all of a sudden the church starts falling in love with those things. The Lord gave a admonition to those churches, did he not? He says, keep it up. I'll come and snatch the candlestick right out from underneath you. We can lose our love. I tell young folks all the time, look, there's a time and place. Look, I'm the father of seven. I don't have any marriage yet. I've got a daughter. Only two camels. And somebody can have her. No, I brought it down from four. So, she's 25 now, so I've reduced it down to two camels. Come and talk to me. But, where in the world was I going with that, Brother Scott?
I don't know. I don't have girls, so I don't know.
But as a father of seven, and some of those kids, can I tell you, working with teens, isn't it amazing how all of a sudden they start having things that start snatching their emotions and their hearts? It's usually the opposite sex. Usually that little female that walks by and all of a sudden they go, ooh. They get that look in their eye. I call it Twitter-pated. They get all Twitter-pated. And I'm like, stop it, you're killing me. Because you know what I found out? What it does is it starts drawing their heart away. And starts drawing them away. I use that word away because it is away. It's away from a couple things. It's away, first of all, from their dad and their mom. Because until they get married, I'm an old school guy. Until they get married, their heart belongs to me and my wife. And belongs to the Lord, first and foremost. And when they start giving that love away, it's amazing how all of a sudden you start trying to tell them things and it's like they know all the answers. I'm 21 and I've got it all figured out. I know the world and I'm going, oh please, you're killing me. You don't have it figured out. But you know what I find? They start getting rebellious. They don't want to listen to you. That's what happens when we start giving our love away. And oh, by the way, it can happen to us. We start falling in love with the things of the world. Somebody comes up alongside and said, hey, excuse me, but do you realize what you're doing? And people get rebellious. Ah, you're one of those fundamentalists. You're one of those old school guys. There's a new way of reaching people today. No, there's not. Maybe it's because you're falling in love with the world. You've lost that first love. I'm telling you, it's deadly. Second, third thing is we can lose our focus. We can lose our focus. And sometimes what happens is I see that there's an emphasis. Even here, in this particular passage, look back at verse 8. It reminds us very clearly here in verse 8. It says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. See, there's an emphasis here of the flesh versus the Spirit. We start putting, sometimes I've been guilty of this, and this is where the Lord's had to reach back and smack me a couple times. Somebody asked me a question the other day of how's it feel to be a full bird colonel? I'm going, oh no, I guess I never thought about it. But I do know some guys who have become a full bird colonel that it goes to their head real quick. And all of a sudden it's kind of like this. Look at me. Look what I've accomplished. See all these medals? They glitter, don't they? Whew. Yeah? And you go, and you start thinking, look at me. And I'm telling you, it's like, really? That's deadly. Because you know what that is? That's starting to depend on the flesh. And we actually can start getting into doing this, you know, from the standpoint of some of you guys have been out a real long time. Some of you not so long. But you get in, you can actually start depending on your own strength, can't you? You know how it is. You get behind in something and you know that you've got a message that needs to be done. And you're tempted to do something like this. You go back and you go, well, you know, it's been a while since I preached this. Let me just blow the dust off of it and I can just kind of go through the motions. I can pull that thing out and I can just with my own strength, my own charm, my own wisdom, I can just wax eloquently that message. And we do it in our own strength. Our own power. And then we wonder why there was absolutely no result. You felt like it was just as dead as doornails when you preached the thing and you go, why, Lord? Did we depend upon any ounce of the Spirit to help us to do that? To speak? And I mean, there's a lot of things that we can do because we're comfortable with doing it in our own strength. You know what I'm talking about, right? And what happened if we're not careful is we start losing focus and start trying to do things in the flesh instead of maybe depending on the Spirit to get us through and to do what we know we're supposed to do. And it's a loss of focus. And the Lord just reminds us very carefully. He says, look, that which you do in the flesh is of the flesh and it's of no value. 1 Corinthians, we're reminded we're going to stand before a holy God one of these days and we're going to give an account of all that we've done. And we may just find that some of those things that we have done are nothing but just wood, hay, and stubble. Because we have done them in our own strength and our own power. God says, I'm not pleased. You did all this on your own. And not with me. True? Yes. I was reading a book by Harry Ironside one day, and he made this quote in one of the books, and he said this. He says, why are we so apt, having begun in the Spirit, to try to finish in the flesh? That baffles us. But yet, if we're not careful, we can lose focus. Dangerous place to be. I know great men of faith just like you do, who may, just because of this area here, started depending a little bit on the flesh. And in certain areas, maybe they thought, you know what? I have the power to be able to handle this. I have the power over this drink. I have the power over these drugs. I have the power over this. And they come to realize that the flesh is extremely powerful. They come to the realization that that sinful nature is a whole lot more powerful than they thought. But because of maybe their position or their stature or whatever, I can overcome this. And they found out that they could not. And you as well as I know that there's some names that we could mention even right here. We pray for them. We lift them up. We regret. But they've made that decision. And because of it, it's come back to bite them. And it's done a lot of damage to the name of Christ for those from the outside who look in and say, see? See? Oh, God forbid that we would give any folks the opportunity to blaspheme the name of God because of our actions, because we lost focus and thought that we could depend upon the flesh instead of depending upon the Spirit. We can lose focus. And we can also lose what I call our spiritual compass. I think the world, I think the United States is guilty of this as a whole. We don't finish the job. You know, I'm reminded that Paul has told us, I have finished my course. I have finished the fight. I love that phrase. Because the next thing that he knew on literally the chopping block was him going to be come with the Lord. And he was able to look back at his life and say, I finished the course. I started this. I pressed toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, and I finished the course. I think sometimes what can happen with us is sometimes we lose our spiritual compass, kind of lose our direction a little bit. And in doing so, we never quite get to the finish line as strong as we started out. I think our country is guilty of that. They lost their spiritual compass somewhere along the line. It didn't start out that way with our Christian forefathers. But there was a spiritual morality of a compass that was lost. And before we know it, Jesus and Christ has pushed out of the schools and pushed out of the legislature and pushed out of this and pushed out of that. And then we wonder and say, Lord, why are we in such a mess?
Right.
Because we lost our spiritual compass. And if it's true in the United States, it's also true in our churches, is it not? We can begin to lose that spiritual compass. I'm an avid runner. I love to run. And I got to tell you, you know, I get ready to run. I'll set my GPS and I say, I'm going to run X amount of miles today. And I set off to do that. And I try to do that avidly. But, you know, let me ask you a question. If I was running a marathon, which I don't normally do, or running a race, how foolish would it be to take off the run race and out of an 8-mile run, get to 7.5 miles and say, hey, you know what? That field over there looks like a good place to run. And I run and I get off the course and I never get back on the course. I never come across the finish line. And folks are saying, hey, the line's over here. But yet I never break the tape. I never run across the finish line because I've chosen to get off course. I've seen a lot of churches do that recently. I've seen some pastors who've done that because they've lost their spiritual compass and gotten off track. And then last here, under the aspect of causes, maybe it's just the fact that we're under spiritual attack or we're just under attack and pressure. Some of you guys have been in the ministry for a long time. You've had folks that's gotten right in your face and told you how first of those are the ones that tell you they love you. And then a couple of days later, when they don't like their counsel, those are the same ones that say, I hate you. You can't quite figure that out sometimes. We have a hard time with the people who attack us and that pressure. And after a while, that starts to build up. And if we're not able to deal with that, that becomes hard on us. And the tears that many of you have shed for your own people, because you see them going in a certain way and you just grieve for them and you try to help them. And it just seems like the pressure. What do we do with that? Who do we turn that over to? You know what I'm talking about? It's like taking that Pepsi bottle and putting the lid on it. Start shaking that baby up. You know, after a while, keep shaking that thing up. I don't want to be the first one to pop the lid on that, do you? Because it's going to be a mess. And the truth is, some of you folks have been under some pressure and you like that bottle. It's only going to take sometimes just one little pop of the tab and some of you go spewing out everywhere. You know what I mean? Because of the pressure. And then we go back and have to try to clean that mess up and go, oh, I wish I wouldn't have said that. Anybody else been there besides me? Wish I wouldn't have done that. Been there, done that. Pressure and attack. But then you say, brother, thank you for all the causes. Thank you for reminding me. But what's the answer? What's the answer? What is it that we need in order for us to, for the cure of this weariness, of this burnout, of this spiritual apathy? I think there's a couple things that we need to go back and remember if I could do this. And because of the fact that we're talking about this aspect of faith, let me just remind you. So something that somebody said a long time ago, and it's not original to, I don't know who said it, but it's real simple. The same faith that saved you is the same faith that keeps you day by day. How many of you have to remind yourself of that every once in a while? We're talking about this aspect of faith while we're here. But by faith, I think that there's some things that we need to do in order for us to have a cure of this spiritual apathy. Number one, they're real easy. I think first and foremost, maybe there needs to be a faithful Repentance? Can I say that to a bunch of preachers? Is that okay? To a bunch of pastors? Maybe there needs to be a faithful repentance. You know, because some of these things that we've allowed us to lose our focus and lose our spiritual compass, and the Lord has been trying to sit there and say, hello, excuse me, where are you going? What are you doing? Here's the priority, here's the focus, here's the path, where are you going? And the Holy Spirit's tried to rein us in a few times. And some of us, because of our personalities, or maybe we're just hard-headed, maybe we've kind of done this to the Lord a little bit. You know what I'm talking about, right? And that's sometimes when the Lord says, okay, all right, have it your way. Wander in the wilderness a bit. You'll be back. And when we come back and say, oh Lord, help me. Okay, I'm ready. Maybe it's time for us to have a little faithful repentance. We know that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and set us back on the right path. And we need to, I think every once in a while, maybe we need to just do that in our own lives. You say, how can this be considered sin? Because him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So maybe because of the fact that we've stopped doing that good somewhere along the way, knowing that we should be doing it, and the things that we should do, and maybe we need just a little healthy dose of a faithful repentance. Secondly, maybe we faithfully need to just stop and remember. Maybe we just need to faithfully stop and remember. Remember what? Remember where you've been. Remember where you came out of. We've been reminded here over the last day, maybe to go back and remember something as simple as our salvation. Remember where you were before you became a born-again believer? Now, for some of you, that's a few years ago. So for some of you, maybe not so far back. But I got to tell you, when I stop and I remember and I look at who I was from June of 1986 and back, I don't like what I saw. I don't like that guy. I don't like that drunk. I don't like that guy who smoked like a freight train. I don't like that guy who cursed and used the Lord's name in vain. I don't like him. But that was me. And by the grace of God, He saved me from that. And I think sometimes what happens is we need to just go back and faithfully just to remember. Lord, look what You brought me out of. Look where I was before. By the grace of God, where You want me to be today. And I think sometimes by faith we just need to stop and go back and remember. We talked about the 25th anniversary. We flip those pictures up and we see all those young kids who stand about that high, who now stand about this high. And we look back and we go, oh yeah, that's so good. And we remember and we rejoice and we say, thank You, Lord, for those years. When's the last time we did that? With our spiritual walk. From the ministry that God's called us to be in. Brother Dave's been here for 25 years. And I think back of those times and I say, praise the Lord. I can remember some of the great times we had together. I remember times of gorillas hanging from the rafters in Camp Challenge. And I remember times of laughing and crying. And sometimes we need to stop and remember back to see how blessed we are today. Say, God, thank You. Thank You for bringing me to this point. Don't let me stop now. Don't let me get in the flesh. Don't let me forget where You blessed me and brought me through all these things. Through these challenges, through these sufferings, through these hard times. But Lord, look where You brought me. We need to stop and faithfully remember where God has brought us from. Then I think sometimes can I also tell you something else where you need to constantly remember? Remember who you are in Christ. Remember who you are. Positionally, who are you? Well, the moment that I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, a wonderful transformation took place because it wasn't that old individual anymore. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And at that very moment, the God of heaven, the Creator of all the universe, can you believe this? He looked down upon me and He called me son. And He said, you're my child. He said, you're heir to the throne. You're joint heir with Jesus Christ Himself. Have you forgotten that? Sometimes I think we need to stop and remember who we are in Christ. That'll help cure a whole lot of spiritual apathy. I think we also need to faithfully rekindle. I think sometimes we just faithfully need to rekindle. 2 Timothy. Paul reminds this young preacher boy. He says, remember this. There was a gift that was given unto you. And he says, just so you know, there's times in our lives where you need to stir up the gift that was given unto us. You know, see, it's that old, how many of you like campfires? We love to go out camping. Love to sing them songs, roast them marshmallows, get that fire all nice and hot. Sit around in a cold night. Your hands get warm. You got to do the rotisserie chicken thing and turn so you get warm on the other side. But the bottom line is you stoke up that fire and it's nice and warm. But you let that fire just sit there without putting another piece of wood on it. Brother Carsey's, what happens? That fire starts going down. On a cold winter night, you find yourself getting closer and closer to the campfire. Before you know it, you're standing in it. No more fire. But you know, down inside, there's still these red little embers. They're there. You don't dare to reach out and grab one with your hand because it's hot. But what do we do? Somebody says, hey, somebody rekindle the fire. Now, I'm from the South somewhat. Down South, we say this, stoke it up. Stoke it up. Somebody throw some wood on there. Throw some more kindling. Stir up those coals. Get that kindling back on there. And before you know it, what do you have? You have that flame just ablazing again. Because the coals were there. I think that's exactly what Paul was telling Timothy. Look, young man. The gift is there. The embers are there. You don't need any new embers. You just need to stoke up the fire. And God's already in there. Sometimes when that spiritual apathy kicks in, you know what happens? We need to just get faithfully rekindled. Can I just tell you? Stoke it up. Remember what God has done for you. And stoke up that faith. Oh yeah, Lord, I used to have this great faith in you. What happened to it? Has God changed? Has God moved? Has His address changed? No. No. We know that He's immutable. He hasn't changed one bit. He hasn't moved one step. We did. Sometimes we just need to be rekindled. Brought us back. Have that faith reignited. That'll cure a whole bunch of spiritual apathy, Brother Sean Weiss. We know that that's true. I think also we need to maybe faithfully, here's a fourth R, faithfully recommit. Sometimes I think we just need to come back to the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us over in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 6 that though that just man falleth seven times, he gets back up. One of the things about being a just man is he gets back up. I know about you, but some of you have been knocked down a few times in your ministry. Some of you have tripped and fallen. Some of you have just laid down because you were tired. Because it got hard. But a just man, he gets back up. Dusts himself off. And says, let's get back at it. Now, Lord, where was I? Lord, you know that commitment that I made to you those 20 plus years? Lord, I want to come back to you and recommit myself to you. And say, here am I, Lord. Send me. It's still true today. You called me. I volunteered. Him that desireth the office of a bishop desireth a good thing. You answered that call. You said, here am I will defend. You swore in, you said, so help me God. And you took that first step of faith. And you kept walking. Something may have got you off track a little bit. Sometimes we need to come back on the path in 1 John 1:9. And at the point that we do that, they say, Lord, here am I. I'm back on the right track. Let me get recommitted to you. Let me give you my heart all over again. Let me give you my mind. Let me give you my soul. Lord, I want to recommit myself to you. I don't want to give in to the flesh. I just want to finish the course. I want to press toward that mark again. I want to be able to finish this course and hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the kingdom. An aspect of salvation is an aspect of pleasing the Lord and doing what He has said. And sometimes I think we just need to get faithfully recommitted to Him and say, here we are. Use me. Sometimes I think we need to faithfully rest. Yes, sometimes I think we need to stop. I think we need to let the boat set for just a few moments so that we can regain some energy, physically and spiritually. I'm all for rest. The Lord tells us to come apart and to rest. The Lord tells us to lean upon Him. The Lord knows that we are but weak vessels. The Lord knows that we're made of clay and dust. And I think sometimes we just need to stop and rest in the Lord. And that's okay. To stop and rest doesn't mean that you've given up and you've turned off the engine and you're not getting back at it. It just means I need to stop and take a breather every once in a while. Anybody ever need a breather? To faithfully just rest. But just because we rest doesn't mean we die there. I didn't say turn off the engine completely and just say, I'm done. Take a breather. And by the faith, by the grace of God, get back up and get moving and say, okay, that was good enough. You know, I'm so grateful that God is a God of new beginnings, aren't you? He gives us a new day every day. Because see, yesterday I kind of messed up yesterday. But I'm so grateful it's a God of new beginnings. He said, you know what, here's a brand new day. All these opportunities rest right here before you. He gives us a new week. He gives us a new year. Lord, I really messed up last year. That's okay. That's okay. I'm a God of new beginnings. Now get back at it. I think also we need to faithfully rebuild. I think back of Nehemiah when he came back to Jerusalem and he was faced with the aspect of seeing that wall for the first time. And I got to tell you, he probably looked at that wall. We already know before he ever left he was in tears that he heard about the wall. Can you imagine when he came back and he saw it? And the rocks were all down and the gates were burned and he looked at that and I'm sure he was just filled with grief and cried in tears. But he didn't stay there crying very long because it was just a few minutes later he gathered everybody together and said, hey, guess what? It's time to rebuild. Let's rebuild this wall. See, because some of the things in our life, because we've lost focus or we've lost these different things and gotten into spiritual apathy, sometimes we need to get back into where we're supposed to be, and we may need to have to rebuild some walls that we allowed to just collapse around us. Maybe it's rebuilding some walls in your family. Maybe it's rebuilding some walls in your own spiritual life. Maybe it's rebuilding a wall so that things of the world and the flesh of the devil don't have the power to come in and take you down anymore. You know, when the walls were down, they were without defense. And you know as well as I do, when the walls are down in your spiritual life, you are without defense. And you are a prime target to where the devil can come up alongside of you and just beat you senseless. Sometimes I think what happens, we need to come back in and rebuild some walls. Say, Lord, help us to rebuild them. Help them to build it strong. Stronger than it was before. The $6 million man. Lord, I can do it. I can do it better and faster than I ever did it before. Rebuild some walls in my life. We need to faithfully depend on the Lord to help us to do that. And then last, I think we also need to just faithfully re-engage. We may have did all these other things, but it's great. I've done all these things. Now get back at it. I call that faithful re-engagement. You know what that is? It's real simple. This is not real deep theologically. Here's all it is. You put the transmission back in drive, and you step on the gas pedal, and you get back at it. Here I am, Lord. I've been down this path a little too long. I think maybe some of us have put the car in reverse. Lost focus, lost priority. Stop. Put the car back in drive. Get re-engaged toward the things of God again. See, here's why I say this. Every single one of you, yep, even him, is still breathing. He's even still has a pulse. It's low, but he has one. He's still warm. I think the truth of the matter is, and while you're warm, live. While you've got breath, give it to God. While you've got energy, get back at it. You know what it's all about? It's just what Galatians told us. Lord, help us not to be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. My challenge to you today is, have you maybe been overcome by a bit? Have you given in to some of these losses? Maybe the Lord has brought you here for a specific reason this day. Maybe the Lord has brought you within the sound of His voice to be able to say, you know what, that's exactly what I needed. I came here, I was beat up, I came here, I was tired, I came here, I was weary, I came here, I felt like Brother Joe, I was ready to throw in the towel. I just can't do it anymore. God says, yes you can. Oh yes you can. I haven't changed. I'm still right here. I think sometimes we're afraid because of who we are as pastors and administrators. I don't want people to think that I'm weak or I'm weary. I've got to maintain that stature. Are you kidding me? You're human like the rest of us. And it's only by the grace of God that I am what I am anyways. We just need to call out and say, Lord, maybe I need to repent. Maybe I need to recommit. Maybe I need to remember, rekindle, rest. Maybe I need some rebuilding. But my challenge to you is, then you need to re-engage. You can walk out that door today and you can say, yes, here I am, ready to go for you again for the next 30 years, next 60 years. Next whatever day that you've given me to serve you, Lord, I'm going to serve you with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, all my mind. Lord, here am I. Let me get back into this battle. Victory's already won. Let me just get back in and be what I need to be. Lord, Father, we thank you so very much for this day. And Lord, we just ask that you would just help us to do that which would bring honor and glory to you. Lord, I just pray that maybe you've taken this message and allow it to be used for your honor and glory for someone even here this very day. Maybe there's one here today that felt like this was it. They just came here, Lord, with weary and tired. And they just said, Lord, I need you. Speak to me. Lord, maybe this is, and these other messages is exactly what they need in order to help them to get back behind that plow so they can faithfully continue to see the harvest. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.